They said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are ye?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows.
Great, thanks, Nathan. Let's just pray, and then we're going to dive into that passage. Father, we pray that you'd help us as we look at your word. We just recognize that this isn't just a bunch of words on a page. It's your Holy Spirit speaking to us, your Holy Spirit with us now, helping us to understand it and settling it into our lives and our wills. So we pray that he would help us all to listen well, to understand, and we pray that these words from you to us would make a difference to how we live and would make a difference to how we feel about being followers of the Lord Jesus today. We pray it in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you make of Jonah in this. It's really interesting when you read all the kind of clever people when it comes to the book of Jonah, because they don't agree. Lots of people, some people really hate him. They think, "Oh my goodness, Jonah is the worst." Some people think, "Oh, let's be nice to Jonah. Let's try to explain what's going on in his head." There's quite a lot that's really quite unexplained in terms of why Jonah does what he does. But actually, he doesn't come out very well, does he? Especially when you think he's supposed to be a prophet for God, the guy who speaks for God to people and for people to God. He doesn't come out very well here. Actually, the people in the boat, the mariners, do come out quite well. Jonah doesn't really, actually. And throughout this passage, we're going to go through it tonight, and we're going to just have four points that we're going to go through just bit by bit. And in this passage, it's like Jonah doesn't even really know what God is like. And each point, it's kind of like he's acting in a way that suggests God is totally different to what he's actually like. In the first instance, Jonah acts like God can't see, really. Just have a look at verse 10, just briefly, what Jonah has told the sailors, the mariners, as he gets on the boat. He tells them that he's fleeing from the presence of his God. This is what we saw at the end of last night, you Power Reset guys, that Jonah is not just running away from the mission, he's actually running away from God himself. Where God is, who God is, I want to distance myself from, because he wants me to do things I do not want to do. I actually think are kind of wrong in a sense, in terms of how he sees it. And as he comes and he speaks to these mariners about, you know, "Oh, what takes you to Tarshish?" and things like that, he talks to them about God as if God is a God who can't really see outside of a certain area, doesn't he? He says, "I'm running away from my God," as if this God is this small little God who just stays in this one little place. And if he's there, well, I'll go over here. And, "Well, what brings you over here?" "Well, I'm running away from my God. He's over there. So I'm just moving over this direction a bit." Remember, he's a prophet of God. He's supposed to be speaking for God. Here are some people who don't know God. And what kind of picture of God is he giving them right off the bat? He's acting like this God is a God who doesn't really see, because he just stays behind a door somewhere, like, you know, like your parents at home when you're at school. They're behind, you know, a lot of mileage and doors and walls, and they can't see what's going on. Jonah talks about God like this, and he acts as if God can't see. But it's funny because we might look at this and we might think, yeah, that's really weird because he's a prophet and he should know, right? But the fact is we do this all the time, don't we? We act like God can't see what we're doing in certain situations. I think what Jonah's doing here is, for him, he's thinking, God is a God who is God here. And if I go over here, he's no longer got the same power. He can't see what's going on. He can't hear what's going on, maybe. I can distance myself from him. When I can act over here in a way that is different to over here, because God can't see over here. And we do that all the time. There's ways in which we will act and we will speak when we are in a Bible study. Totally different to how we might act when we're with our friends at the pub or in the form room or whatever it might be. In our heads, we act as if God can see here. When we're in a church building, this is a classic place for us to think, yeah, God can see us here. I don't know if it's implicit. It's like best behavior when you come into a church building because it feels like, ooh, God, good, God is seeing me here. So it's a different set of rules. And then we go out and it's different. We act like God can't see. We act like God can see when we're in a Bible study. And we act like God can't see when we're playing online. We act like God can see when we're talking to our Christian friends, but then we act like God can't see when we're sending WhatsApp messages. Like he has no idea what I'm texting right now. I know you act like that because I act like that. We act like God doesn't follow us on Insta, however many accounts we have. Like God has no idea what you post on TikTok. He knows. But we act like he doesn't, don't we? All the time. And so in that way, we're very, very similar to Jonah. Jonah right here, right at the very beginning, he gets on the boat. The people say, oh, why are you going to Tarshish? And straight away, he speaks about his God as if his God is a God who can't see what he's doing. Straight away. And along with that, he acts like God is a God who can't act as well. So it's not that it's just that he can't see, it's also that he can't act. Because actually, if you go through the story, God can definitely act, can't he? I mean, have a look at verse 4. God hurled a great wind upon the sea. God did this, notice. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Sleeping like a baby. I mean, babies don't sleep well, I'll tell you that. But I think they do sleep unworried, don't they? I always used to find that expression bothered me when I did have a baby. Babies don't sleep at all. But actually, when babies do sleep, they have no guilt making them toss and turn at night. They have no anxiety that makes them just unable just to rest. Have you ever heard the expression, the sleep of the innocent? The sleep of the innocent is talking about somebody who has nothing on their conscience, so they're able just to sleep. There's nothing that's bothering them. There's nothing that's making them toss and turn at night. So they're just out completely. And people disagree over this and, you know, why is Jonah sleeping like this? But I think it's interesting that when the mariners come and wake him up, they're angry with him for sleeping at a time like this. And so it's interesting, isn't it, that actually at this time when this chaos that God has sent, this kind of storm that's everywhere, that's raging, he's sleeping like nothing, like God can't act. Just when God is acting, he is acting like the person who thinks God can't act, won't act, will do nothing. He's the one acting like it's smooth sailing all the way to Tarshish, it's calm. But look, it's so different for the mariners, aren't they? It's such a huge contrast between the prophet who actually knows God and the mariners who don't. They're freaking out. Rah! We're going to die! Picking up the cargo, chucking it overboard. it's chucking the cargo overboard. It's like your last resort, because if you lose your cargo, you don't get paid. You probably lose your job. It's like a postman freaking out and chucking away all his letters. What are you going to say to your boss at the end of the day as a scary dog? Sorry. But seriously, chucking the cargo overboard is them just giving up on the whole journey, giving up on everything. The only thing that matters now is survival. Nothing else matters. We're going to get to Tarshish. We'll lose our jobs. We might even get, like, in debtor's prison because we owe the owner of the ship for what we've thrown overboard. But right now, it's desperation. Everything is gone because they're just desperate to survive. Meanwhile, Jonah's asleep, clutching his teddy bear and drooling on his pillow. But the thing is that with Jonah here acting like God can't act, like God can't move, like God won't do something when there has been sin, it's how we act. Not in such dramatic ways, you know, we don't have a storm that we sleep through because it's calm and we're all fine. But actually, one of the biggest lies that we completely believe is that the wrongdoing in our life will have no consequences. One of the biggest lies that's so easy for all of us to believe, we do it all the time, is we believe that, like, the sin that we do won't really matter. God won't really do anything about it. Like, there won't be consequences for me or for the people around me, either in this life or in the life to come, really. That's how we act. In our day-to-day life, you know, we see our friends maybe doing things, and it's like they do that, and there's no judgment, so there must be no consequences. And even in our own life, we do little things here and there. We do big things here and there. We don't get a big smack down sometimes, and so we think, oh, I guess God can't act or God won't act. And so there'll be situations in our life where we might be bang smack in the middle of a sin storm and we'll be sleeping and we'll have no idea. And we'll just be acting like, actually, this is nothing to do with me, in a sense, and we'll just be carrying on. The crazy thing about this particular passage, though, here is that Jonah is the one who's supposed to be speaking for God. He's the prophet. And so you have these mariners going crazy, freaking out, calling out to their gods that can't help, and the one person who knows the God that can help is asleep. Just consider all the different sins that your friends who are not Christians are struggling with. And think about all the remedies that our world will prescribe for them that will not help at all. And think about yourself as being somebody who knows the God that could help. How much are you sleeping in the middle of the storm sins of, that your friends are involved in? And they're calling out to whatever they believe in, and it's hopeless, and you have a hope, but like Jonah, you're acting like God can't act, really. It's crazy, isn't it? Because the mariners, they even ask Jonah to speak, don't they? Have a look in verse 6. You have the mariners on deck, and it's all going mental, and they've called out to their gods, and nothing is happening. And so they come down, verse 6. What do you mean, sleeper? Sleeper is an insult there. Arise, call to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. They've been calling out to all these different random gods. I don't know who they are. It's not listed. Thor, Poseidon, whoever it might be, crying out desperately, someone save us. And there's been nothing. Actually, it's just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And so now they come to this guy and they say, right, you call out. What we've been doing hasn't worked. We've called out to so-and-so. We've called out to this. Maybe your one will hear us. Maybe your one is the real one. Do you see what's happening with these mariners here? They've seen the weakness of what they've believed before, and they are asking to find out about Jonah's God. That's what they're doing. All of this is rubbish. It doesn't work. Tell us about your God. I mean, that's on a plate for a prophet of God, isn't it? Somebody who said, I've tried everything. The only thing I haven't tried is Jesus. Please, can you tell me about him? That's literally what they say. They say, call out to your God. You're a prophet, Jonah. That's what we're looking as we think we look at it. You're a prophet. Your job is to speak to God for people. Speak to people for God. Here's some people asking you to speak to God for them. Arise, call to your God. Maybe he's real. Maybe he can actually help us. Jonah doesn't speak out. At no point in this passage does Jonah ever speak to God. It's almost as if, you know, Jonah is acting like God can't hear. You know, even at this point when he kind of realizes, okay, it's getting serious, because have a look at verse 7. They say, right, well, you know, what's happening here? The mariners cast lots in verse 7. They said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. Notice at this point, Jonah doesn't speak up. He's like, let's just see what the dice say, and then I'll decide what my position might be. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. It's crazy, isn't it? They are suddenly really scared because they realize just who this God is. Jonah came on board saying, I'm fleeing from a little Hebrew God. You don't need to worry about it. Now they ask him who this God really is. And he's like, oh yeah, he's the God of heaven and the sea and everything. And they're like, what? That's not what you said before. Do you see how Jonah, who is not wanting to speak for God, even throughout his like complete mess, God is still using him. He hasn't even spoken, and yet throughout all of this chaos, God is still using Jonah to be somebody that ends up pointing people to God. We're going to come back and explore that more. But if you're ever feeling like, I'm just a bit rubbish as a Christian, and all my non-Christian friends are around me, and I wish I had the right words, and Jonah is rubbish here. And at the end of the story, the mariners are praising God. There could be all sorts of non-Christian friends around you that you feel so guilty about because you've never told them the gospel, and you feel like you've always just been a bit of a rubbish Christian around them. God can still use that. But don't aim for it. Jonah, don't aim to be like Jonah here. Because Jonah, he acts like God can't hear. The one thing they're telling him to do is to call out, to call out, to call out. And I don't really know why he doesn't call out. I want you to talk about it for a little bit. Just in your twos and threes, with those around you, just for a few moments, why do you think Jonah doesn't cry out here? The whole thing is telling him to cry out. Even complete atheists, if they're in chaos, will call out to God, won't they? Jonah doesn't. So just chat about it for a bit. What do you think? What do you think is going on in his head that makes him just not call out to God at any point in this passage? Go for it. It's interesting, isn't it? It's what's going on in his head. I think a large part of it is what we're saying. He thinks that God either can't hear or won't hear. Remember what Adam and Eve do in the Garden of Eden right after they've sinned. What do? Do you remember? Hide. They hide. Bruce, on it. Was it Tom? Bruce is still on it, he just didn't say it. I meant that. That was not a mistake. I refuse to admit that I... Yeah, they hide, don't they? Adam and Eve, when they make that huge, huge sin, they hide. It's almost like they're acting a little bit like Jonah here in a sense. Like God somehow won't see. Like somehow God won't act. Like somehow God can't hear them. And if God was going to, if they were going to come and speak to God about it and confess to God what happened, actually, that he wouldn't be willing to listen. I think there's a sense with Jonah here that actually He knows he's done wrong. We see that in what he says to the mariners. He knows this is him that's done this. He knows he's run away from God. He says that. He knows that all of this is happening because of him. But now there's something going on in his head that makes him say, if I speak to God, if I call out to God, it won't work somehow, is what he's thinking. Either because he's still thinking that God is somehow far away, even though he said he's the God of the seas and all of that, but more likely because he thinks that God is not willing to listen to me. He's treating God as if God is someone who holds a grudge. And God won't hear him right now because actually, frankly, Jonah, you weren't very nice just a few moments ago. And again, we do this all the time, don't we? How slow can we be to speak to our Heavenly Father, even though we know the Bible says he's going to listen anytime, and yet because we know since I last talked to him, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and I feel like if I said anything to him right now, he'd be like, oh, here we go. You again, is it? Because that's what we're like. We're petty with people who've wronged us, aren't we? We're proud and we want people to, we just want to make you feel a bit guilty before I'm ready to hear what you have to say, actually. And we think that God is like that. And so when we have wronged him, we find it very hard to come back to him because we feel like he can't hear me right now. All he's going to hear is just the last thing I did or the things I've done wrong or that thing I sent to my friend the other day. And actually that's going to be this barrier that means it separates me from him. I think there's a sense of Jonah being like that here. But the thing is that we're going to see throughout the book of Jonah, it's going to be really, really clear to us if we keep going. Those of you who are just here tonight, I invite you to read the rest of the book of Jonah in your own time. But those of you at Power Reset, we're going to see God is a God who hears the prayer of someone admitting they've done stuff wrong. He will always hear somebody saying, yeah, I've messed up again. Even if 30 seconds before you were doing something you really shouldn't have done and you were acting like God was miles away, all it takes is for you to just say to God, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And he will hear you. He always, always, always hears. And he always, always, always wants to listen. But Jonah is acting like this is not the case. Maybe he's forgotten or maybe just, in his pride, in his whatever, he's just not thinking like that. So instead, he comes up with a different solution. And I think this last one is probably the saddest thing. Because in all of this, ultimately, Jonah is acting like God can't forgive. And again, the whole book of Jonah is going to show us something quite different. But I think Jonah here is acting like God will not forgive me. Jonah won't call out to God, so the mariners ask him what they should do instead. Verse 11, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Do you see what they're saying there? That's a crazy question. They recognize, okay, there is your God and you are his and the relationship is broken. How can the relationship be mended? How can the wrongness of this situation be made right? That's the question they're asking. They're asking it from the perspective of heathens, of pagans. But they are just asking, really, okay, your God is the one who's doing all of this. What would make him happy again? What can we do that will make your God happy again so that this storm will go away? And look at what Jonah's answer is. And we could really analyze this for ages, but I'm not going to tonight. Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. We're going to revisit this and we're going to think a little bit about the significance of death being necessary where there has been sin. So we're going to come back to this and re-explore this. But just think what Jonah is saying now to people who are complete pagans, have no idea about God. What is he how is he representing God here? He's kind of saying, my God won't be happy unless he destroys me. If I die, yeah, then it'll be all right. I'm the one that's done all of this. He is very angry. If I die, it'll be all right. And again, if you're around for the rest of the week, you're going to see, actually, that God does not just want judgment straight away. He does judge, he does destroy, but he does that after being patient for ages and ages and ages and giving chance after chance after chance. That's the whole reason Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh in the first place. But there's such a contrast here between Jonah, how he's representing God, and the mariners, and how what they discovered God to actually be like. It's crazy, isn't it? Because you think about these mariners, like we say mariners, we forget, they're sailors. They've got tough, leathery hands and tattoos on their arms, and they swear every other word. And here, Jonah's just said, if you want to save your life, just chuck me, this weedy little Hebrew, overboard, kill me, job done. And yet, these brutish mariners, that's how we would read it if we were looking at it the first place. You've got this good man of God, and you've got these brutish pagan mariners. And yet, look at them, verse 13. They've just been given how you can save yourself. And yet, verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. Jonah at no point has called out, but now the mariners do. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. That prayer is so brilliant, isn't it? Just look in that. In that prayer, there's a recognition that God is the sovereign God of everything. And there's a recognition that God really can do what he wants. And so if he is Lord of everything and he can do what he wants, all you can ask for is mercy. And that's what they do. And if you're somebody who maybe is finding it hard to pray at the moment, and you are in a position where you feel like there's a barrier between you and God, and you feel like there is some, I don't know, something that hasn't been sorted out between you, and you want to do something about it, but you don't know what that first step should be, there's a bit of a formula here. Just recognize who God is. Admit that he is way bigger than you, way bigger than everything, that he's in control of everything. Admit that he has the right to do with you and your life whatever he wants. And then just ask for mercy. That's what these guys do here. But Jonah doesn't yet. We're going to see tomorrow night that he does cry out to God eventually. But it takes something pretty dramatic for him to do so. But as the mariners cry out, God hears them. Verse 15, they throw Jonah into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. We're going to come back to those mariners a little bit later on in the week. But for Jonah, we leave him in a situation where he's as good as dead, really. The sea, we're going to explore this a little bit tomorrow night, what the sea really represents for a first reader of Jonah. It's death. It's pure death. And so for Jonah to be cast into the sea and for him to be sinking down in those dark waves is a picture of complete death, destruction, judgment. And it's because he's got God so badly wrong, hasn't he? He's acted like God can't see, God can't act, God can't hear, and God ultimately can't forgive. And he acts here like judgment is the only option left available to him, when actually God is always ready to forgive and to listen to someone who is willing to admit they've been wrong. In a moment, we're going to have just a moment of quiet for ourselves to just think about a question. And we're just going to think about, for ourselves quietly. But there's a verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. It says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us here tonight, we might be people that have sin in us, but we can't taste it. Like we've put a really fiery chili in our mouth, and we can't taste how hot it is, but we're bleeding out of our eyes. Because our culture will tell us again and again and again that if you can't taste it, it's fine. And some of us in our culture, we will be massively damaging ourselves and the people around us, but we won't know it. We will be the people that say, there's no sin in us. and we'll be deceiving ourselves as we do so. And I think for some of us, it will be about praying that God would show us where are the sins that right now we're just kind of not even tasting, we're not even realizing are damaging us. But for some of us, I think we'll know that we're sinners. We know we do wrong things, we know we say wrong things, think wrong things, and that will be present in our minds. But maybe we've sort of just acted like God, we know God can't forgive. And so instead of owning up to him what we're doing, we just sort of tuck it away in a corner of our lives, or we pretend to people, and because we're good at pretending to people, we act like pretending with God is enough. And again, if we're doing that, then we're similar to that verse. We are saying we have no sin, effectively. We are acting like we have no sin. We are speaking as if we have no sin, when the reality is our taste buds are burning with that chili that we've just put in, but we just don't want to admit it. And so at the beginning, we thought about how good are we at admitting when we've done wrong, or admitting that we are, that we just are wrong. Let's be people that are not like Jonah, acting like God can't see, can't hear, can't act, can't forgive. Let's be people here that remember that actually if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to finish with this question, and I want you to think about this for yourself, just quietly. We've just been reminded that God sees everything you do, hears what you say, can act in your life and in the life to come. But massively importantly, we've just been reminded that God is always ready to forgive. So in a moment of quiet, just ask yourself, is there anything you want to say to God? And then just quietly say that in your own time, in your own way. Thank you, Father, that whatever each of us has just said to you in the quietness of our own hearts, you have heard. And you've loved to hear it. Thank you, Father, for what we've seen tonight in your word. We just pray that you'd help us to let these lessons sink into us. Pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to teach us. Pray that we would continue to learn loads more about you as we carry on in the book of Jonah. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.